Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from Prevention Magazine, and it's entitled, the whole issue is entitled, Secrets of Aging Well. It's going to take a while to get through this, but let's give it a start. Now, living a vibrant and fulfilling life is a privilege, and it requires the right mindset, purposeful intent, and dedication. To live fully, identify the actions that will boost your happiness, health, and productivity, and embrace them with courage, enthusiasm, commitment, and resolve. How to age healthier. Several factors contribute to aging well, including reduced stress, healthy food choices, enough sleep, and well-managed health. Making small changes in each of these areas can go a long way to support healthy aging. This is by Merrill Davids Landau. Ask people if they want to live to 100, and many will say no, because they don't want to be a burden to their loved ones, sick or disabled, and requiring lots of care. But what if you could reach a very old age and remain fit enough to run a 10K, or hike steep trails, or at least live independently and keep pace with your great-grandkids as they tear around your house? Scientists are shifting their attention from helping people celebrate many birthdays to making those older years great ones, says Matt Kaeberlein, Ph.D., the CEO of Ostaspan and a former director of the Healthy Aging and Longevity Research Institute at the University of Washington. In other words, rather than extending your lifespan by focusing on better treatments for previously terminal diseases like cancer, heart disease, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, researchers want to boost your health span, defined as the number of years you go about your life alert, engaged, and active, says Stephen Kopecky, MD, a cardiologist at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and the author of Live Younger Longer. Having a longer health span doesn't mean you'll never get sick or develop a chronic condition, but if you do, it won't put too big a crimp in your later years. The idea is to push off the time when you might need a wheelchair or experience failing memory to your last days. On average, Americans give up more than a decade of their potential health span to disease or disability, Kaeberlein says. But that doesn't have to be the case. Scientists already know about ways to optimize those later years through lifestyle changes. As research continues, they will discover other approaches for keeping us healthier longer, including with new drugs. An improved understanding of the biology of aging will form the crux of 21st century medicine, Kaeberlein says. What makes elderly cells? Most of the conditions we associate with aging start in our cells and tissues before they become visible as heart disease or COPD. Health span scientists are trying to figure out what happens in those cells and tissues that causes them to get so messed up, so they can counter these processes. The list so far includes dysfunctions of mitochondria, the engines of cells, the shortening of telomeres, substances at the end of DNA that act like shoelace tips to keep chromosomes from fraying, and glitches in information conveyed by one part of a cell to another. Lifestyle and the environment we live in are part of the picture of our cellular aging process, as are our genes. Researchers know this in part from studying mice and other lab animals, and more recently, pets. Kaeberlein started the Dog Aging Project in 2014 because our furry friends are in many ways like people, subject to the effects of stress, environmental toxic substances, and less than ideal diets. Table scraps, anyone? But since they age 7 times as fast as we do, we can learn a lot from what they go through. In the meantime, one thing has become clear. Things that we know are bad for us, like high blood pressure and lack of exercise, do their dirty work by causing cellular dysfunction. This means that the same things known to prevent conditions like diabetes and heart attacks are often effective at targeting the biology of aging, Caberlin says. As experts learn more about expanding health span, some of this advice may evolve. The following tools are the best ones we can all use to be our healthiest now and well into the future. And the topics they're going to address are: address your stress, beware of blood pressure, move that body, stay heart smart. So we will continue this in the next few weeks and see what we can learn. Now let's move on to an article from AARP, The Bulletin. COVID, where we are now, where we're headed. COVID-19 isn't slowing down. In at least 24 states, COVID cases, emergency room visits, and hospitalizations all spiked this summer. In June, more than 1 in 50 Americans, 65 and older, went to an ER and were diagnosed with COVID, more than double last summer's rate. A rise attributable to the highly contagious Omicron strains known as FLIRT. FLIRT, F-L-I-R-T, strains account for the majority of new cases, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Summer spikes happen when people huddle inside in air conditioning for Father's Day, graduations, and similar events. But older Americans should be concerned about what lies ahead. For the past 2 years, COVID infections among people 65 and older were highest between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day, peaking around Christmas each year. It is likely we'll see more cases as we move into fall and winter, says Pragna Patel, MD, senior advisor for long COVID at the CDC. For the past 2 winters, more than 1 in every 20 Americans, 65 and older, wound up in an ER with COVID symptoms. FLIRT variants spread easily, having mutated to evade some antibiotics. They don't appear to cause more serious symptoms. Doctors see everything from mild colds to severe respiratory infections. It's not that they're any less deadly, but most of us have acquired a certain degree of immunity to COVID-19. Still, older Americans remain at risk. Early this summer, hospitalization rates for those 65 and older were roughly 14 times higher than for adults under 50, according to the CDC. For older Americans, then, protecting ourselves is critical. So here's how. Get your vaccinations up to date pronto. Vaccination is still paramount for preventing COVID and decreasing the risk of severe illness and death, says Sarah F. Martin, MD, medical director of the Adult Post-Acute COVID Clinic at Vanderbilt University. If you're due for your next shot, there's no reason to wait. Updated 2024-25 COVID vaccines from Moderna, Novavax, and Pfizer are expected to roll out this month or last month. Medicare Part B continues to cover the vaccine, as do most insurers, but it's best to check in advance. Some insurers only cover the vaccine when it's administered on in-network, and yes, it's safe to get your flu shot at the same time. Don't rely on prior immunity. Protection wanes over time, says William Schaffner, MD, professor of preventive medicine and infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. Because the older vaccines weren't targeted to all of the FLIRT strains, you need this fall's newest version. And don't rely on a history of luck. Though there are folks out there known as Novids, people who have never had COVID, that doesn't mean you're immune if you're a member of that group. In fact, not having built up antibodies to an actual infection could render you more likely to catch the disease, especially if you cruise on your previous luck and skip the vaccine updates. Protect yourself in high-risk areas. The front line of prevention is still hand washing and masks, said Jill Foster, MD, Assistant Dean at the University of Minnesota Medical School. Be a religious hand washer and wear a mask if you're at high risk or in a crowd. Have a Pavlovic's plan. Antivirals such as Pavlovic's help reduce the severity of illness and may help protect against the risk of long COVID. Starting treatments as soon as possible after testing positive for COVID is paramount. If you're at high risk, it might make sense to talk with your doctor now about getting a plan in place in case you get sick, Schaefer says. What would happen on a weekend, for example, if your provider is on vacation? Just have that conversation so that should you turn positive, you'll be able to start your Pavlovic just as quickly as you can. Stock up on home tests. Check your stash of home tests to make sure they're not expired. Pick up some at your local pharmacy if you need up-to-date tests. If you test positive, you should remain isolated until you've been symptom-free for at least 24 hours without the use of fever-reducing medications, according to the CDC. Once symptoms pass, it's still recommended that you take additional steps to prevent the spread of the disease for at least the next 5 days. Practice social distancing, wear a mask around others, ventilate your home if possible, and wash your hands, especially if you are around older adults. The untold impact of long COVID. Even mild cases of COVID-19 are linked to potential long-term repercussions, some of them deadly serious. Here's what we know about the aftermath of the disease. Chrissy Bernal has caught COVID-19 three times, most recently in October of 2023. My symptoms were always pretty mild, she says. But after her third round of the virus, she developed extreme allergies to foods she used to eat all the time: oats, dairy, gluten, sesame seeds, and peanuts. I literally have some level of anaphylaxis every single day, she says. In May, Bernal, 46, a public relations professional in Houston, went into anaphylactic shock during a virtual meeting. I had to inject myself with an epi while everyone watched in horror over Zoom. Natalie Nichols, 53, has been struggling with debilitating asthma and severe food allergies since she first caught COVID more than 3 years ago. Last fall, I spent 2.5 months confined to bed, motionless because moving, including holding a cell phone, made me too short of breath, she said. She's also experienced brain fog, high blood pressure, hyperglycemia, fatigue, and gastrointestinal symptoms. Nichols, the founder of a nonprofit in Texas, recently underwent surgery to repair joint damage caused by COVID-induced inflammation. Lorraine W., of Clarence Center, New York, was looking forward to an active retirement when she was diagnosed with COVID in March 2020. I've never returned to my pre-COVID self, says Lorraine, 65. She's on medication to treat small vessel damage to her heart and continues to battle a lingering cough, fatigue, and breathlessness, as well as kidney disease. As neurological changes have made her legs unsteady, requiring her to use balance poles. None of these conditions were present before COVID, Lorraine said. In June, the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine released a comprehensive definition of long COVID. an infection-associated chronic condition that occurs after COVID-19 infection and is present for at least 3 months as a continuous relapsing and remitting or progressive disease state that affects one or more organ systems. According to that definition, 18 million Americans have experienced long COVID. Currently, more than 1 in 20 of us are living with symptoms. Researchers have begun to link long COVID and long-term COVID with another recent phenomenon, our shrinking life expectancy. The disease we're forgetting. COVID doesn't seem that scary anymore. More than 98% of the U.S. population has some degree of immunity from vaccination, prior infection, or both, and Paxlovid and other medications are available to counteract acute symptoms. For many of us, contracting COVID is like having a bad upper respiratory infection. But COVID isn't gone, says Ryan Hurt, MD, director of the Long COVID Research and Clinical Program at the Mayo Clinic. The World Health Organization estimates that COVID still kills at least 1,000 people every week around the globe. But we only have data from about 40 countries, says Maria Van Koolhoff, MD, director of WHO's Department of Epidemic and Pandemic Preparedness and Prevention. Older adults and those with pre-existing conditions remain among the most at-risk populations for severe acute COVID. People 65 and older accounted for 63% of COVID-related hospitalizations and 88% of in-hospital deaths during the first 7 months of 2023, according to CDC data. Although the dangers of acute COVID infection may have ebbed for many, the reality of long COVID is coming into view. Of those who contracted COVID-19 within the past 4 years, 10 to 20% have experienced long COVID. With every new case of acute COVID, the initial phase of infection when diagnosed or symptoms first appear, there is risk for developing long COVID, says Caitlin McCauley, DO, a family physician at the Keck COVID Recovery Clinic in Los Angeles. She has had patients who developed long COVID fully recover, get reinfected several times with no lingering effects, then develop another case that leads to a new bout of long COVID. She also has seen patients who got COVID twice with no lingering effects, and the third time they ended up with prolonged symptoms. We still have a number of individuals who had the first wave of COVID who are suffering from long COVID symptoms now, several of them many years out, says Jared Kaplan, MD, medical director of the COVID Rehabilitation and Recovery Program at Gaylord Specialty Healthcare in New York. Having escaped long COVID previously doesn't mean you won't face it in the future. Indeed, some research has suggested that catching multiple COVID-19 strains puts you at increased risk. A study published in 2022 found that reinfection can increase the risk of complications in major organ systems, and these risks persist at least 6 months beyond the initial infection. We don't yet know the true impact of catching COVID. Many chronic disease processes, such as cardiovascular disease, dementia, and cancer, take years to develop. And whether acute COVID-19 puts people at risk for some of these issues, time will tell, Hurt says. What doctors do know is that patients are flocking to their offices complaining of symptoms they never had before COVID. This article continues at some length, so we will continue it next time. Let's move on to an article also in the bulletin, Your Money, Live Well for Less. Should you pay to save? What you get from big retailers' pricey membership programs. Retailer membership programs promise instant gratification, fast, free shipping of millions of products, plus other freebies and special deals. And despite annual fees that can hit more than $100, many of us pay up. perks are piling up at three of the biggest programs. Are they worth it? Here's my take, plus a rundown of recent updates. If you join these or other programs, stay on top of terms, since retailers can revise them quickly. Amazon Prime. Price, $139 a year or $14.99 a month. Discount possible for government-assisted recipients. My take. It costs a lot, but you get a lot, starting with fast free shipping, including one-day and same-day delivery. You also get Prime Day deals, Whole Foods market discounts, free music, videos, books, and games, and a half-price annual membership in the Amazon-owned One Medical Service. Appointments are extra. What's new? Grocery delivery subscription. Pay $9.99 a month for unlimited deliveries of orders over $35 from Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods, and from certain grocery stores and specialty retailers. Free restaurant delivery. A Grubhub membership, previously lasting only 1 year, eliminates delivery fees on orders over $12 and gives you a 5% credit on pickup orders. Drug discounts. Prime members on Medicare have unlimited access to 60 eligible prescription medications for a total of $5 a month through Prime's RX Pass program. Next is Target Circle 360. Price, $99 a year, $49 for holders of a Target Circle credit or debit card. My take? If you get weekly deliveries of groceries and other products, this program could pay off within a few months, since same-day delivery normally costs $9.99 per order. What's new? The whole program. It launched in April. Fast free shipping. Unlimited free same-day delivery via Shipt, Target's delivery service, within a selected one-hour window on eligible orders over $35. Free two-day shipping on qualifying orders that are not available for same-day delivery. Extra time for returns, 30 days after a product's standard return deadline. Shipt Marketplace membership. You get free same-day delivery for orders over $35 from Shipt Marketplace retailers. Walmart. Price, $98 a year or $8.17 a month. Discount possible for government-assisted recipients. My take? Walmart Plus is especially good if you regularly order groceries online. You get free deliveries with a $35 minimum order, which pays for itself in just a few orders, since the normal cost is $7.95 to $9.95. You also get free next day, 2 day, and standard shipping on items shipped by Walmart. Among other perks, free home pickup of eligible returns, a Paramount Plus Essential plan, which includes ads and excludes most TV streaming, and 10 cents off per gallon at select gas stations. What's new? Telehealth for pets. Free virtual access to veterinarians 24/7 via PAWP, P-A-W-P. Tire care. Flats repaired free. Walmart sold tires damaged by road hazards can be brought back for repair or replacement. Travel deals. Walmart plus travel.com booking. Earn 2 or 5% in Walmart cash. Deals I saw in May, however, were not standouts. And this article was by Lisa Lee Freeman, a journalist specializing in shopping and saving strategies. She was editor-in-chief of Shop Smart magazine from Consumer Reports. And under the heading 99 Great Ways to Save Continuing Education, audit a college course. Many public colleges waive fees or reduce them significantly for older adults to audit classes on their campuses. Alaska residents, 65 and older, for example, can audit for free any University of Alaska course that has space by signing up on the first day of classes. And some Colorado universities waive tuition for older students who want to audit courses. Consider community college. Some community colleges offer discounts for older learners. Even the schools that don't may be a cost-effective option for continuing education. Credit hours for residents at community colleges can cost less than half the in-state tuition at four-year colleges. Check into OLLI, O-L-L-I. There are more than 100 Osher Lifelong Learning Institute programs throughout the country that coordinate with colleges to offer non-credit classes specifically designed for learners 50 and older. The cost of OLLI membership, which typically includes about three courses per term, can range from $60 per year to nearly $1,000, depending on the program. Most programs offer scholarships or financial assistance. Let your employer play. If you're interested in learning a skill or earning a degree that will help you at work, check with your HR team about whether the company offers education benefits that could help offset the cost. 8 in 10 employers cover formal training or education for employees to keep skills current, while nearly half provide tuition assistance, according to the Society for Human Resource Management. And finally, check out seniorplanet.org. Senior Planet from AARP offers classes both online and in person through community centers and other locations that help older adults learn technology skills to stay connected with friends and family, save money, exercise, and more. And we have time for just a few more tips from the bulletin on saving money, this one under the heading of entertainment. Use your workplace benefits. Many employees miss entertainment perks offered through their employers, such as discounted tickets to amusement parks, museums, Broadway shows, concerts, and more. Also, check on what is offered by your professional groups and organizations, such as AAA. For AARP member discounts, see another area of this article. Arrive together, but sit separately. Sure, it takes some of the social fun out of it, but you can often save on theater tickets by buying single seats. Chat during intermission, or not. Under healthcare, consider a surgical center. Need a surgery that doesn't require an overnight hospital stay? Ask your doctor if there's a nearby surgical center equipped to handle outpatient procedures. It's likely to cost you significantly less than a hospital. For example, the Medicare copay for cataract surgery is $363 at a surgical center versus $588 at a local hospital. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.